And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, April the 20th, 2019. It is Season 13, Episode 15. It's April the 20th for me. I don't know what it is for Matt.
I don't know what day it is because my days have been so messed up the past 2 weeks.
But, yeah, so welcome to the show, everyone. Let's get this out of the way very quickly before we do the introductions. And there, done. Yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook at InGameChat there. You can find us on Discord. Not really. You need to find one of us on Discord. Then you can get in to the room. We're a little protective, apparently. So
nothing wrong with that.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's just an extra hoop for you to have to jump through. Sorry, I'm a little bit exhausted at the moment. Ah, goodness.
Me too.
Yeah. Whew.
I was helping a friend move yesterday until about 11 o'clock at night.
No, I had an incident downstairs, so anyway. Yeah. Anyway, you can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on twitch.tv. You can find us there. Watch us in a chat room. Chatty chat chat. And you can talk amongst yourselves while we're doing the show, whatever you want to talk about. Like I said, on our Discord, my name is Scott IGC, hashtag 8222. I think it's a capital S, and then the IGC is all... I don't know if that matters. I think it does. It's a little frustrating.
Mine's IGC Matt.
On Discord?
Yeah, my old Bullet Food one's toast.
Yeah. So I might as well post it in the chat room. That way you can use that to hit us up, and then we can get you into the Discord for us. Although really all we ever do is talk about Destiny. So, but it is a place where you can come and hang out in the chat room and talk to us or, voice chat, that sort of thing. Coming up later on in the show, we're supposed to. I don't know that it's going to happen. We're supposed to have a phone call sometime a little bit later on to talk about the situation that's happened with City of Heroes.
Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like out of nowhere.
Right. And so I'm going to try and hold back my excitement without saying anything more than that until we talk to them. But...
like,
it's going to be very hard for me to do that.
Like a rainbow just shot out and hit Atlas Park in a pot of gold of superhero.
It hit my nostalgia button.
It did.
Like, hard. Like, you know, just smacked me in the face with nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of it. Even, well, again, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. I want to kind of keep quiet a little bit. So, anyway, welcome to... We almost used up the entire... That damn show opens 5 minutes and 48 seconds, and we have 50 seconds of it left. We use that whole thing.
Yeah, just run it out then.
That's amazing. No, I'm good.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Not like we got nothing to talk about anyway. By the way, all I played is Destiny. I've been playing the spring event that's been going on that Bungie has botched again. Not necessarily royally, but they've screwed some things up. And it's hard for me to... I'm not really picking this hill to die on as far as a battle. But the fact that I completed all the triumphs for all the other seasonal events... which, by the way, the triumphs hold no water.
Yeah.
They give you no points. They award nothing.
Stuff to do.
Yeah, that's it. I get an emblem, I think. That, you know, a little something stupid like that.
So it's just XP at this point.
Sure, but I'm not really doing anything with XP either because I'm capped out.
The only thing XP is giving you now is what, engrams to open?
Yeah, engrams. Yeah. That's all it's doing. It's just
too bad you can't pool the XP, and that way when they unlock the new level cap, it'll like take it from that pool.
Right. Like the debt system from City of Heroes. No, I don't want to go back into that. We will get into that. Trust me, we will. But not at the moment. So, and I'm going to have to refer to my... I'm going to have to refer to my Discord where I sent these questions off because they're preparing to answer from what I sent.
Okay.
And so I need to make sure that I continue to ask those questions. It's going to be hard for me to not get a little personal and be like, how great does it feel? How good does it feel to be back into this game that you haven't played for 6 years? so, anyway, doing the Destiny thing, I have 2 triumphs left to complete the whole thing. One is turn in 50 bounties, which we get 5 per day.
All right.
So, and some of them I can do, some of them I can't. But right now I'm at 28 or 29, you know, and it hadn't even been a week. So I'll get that no problem. The other one is generate 200 orbs in Crucible or Gambit. The problem with that is that
you
they have
to play Crucible and Gambit.
Well, Gambit's not a problem, dude.
That's where I was going.
Gambit's not a problem. Because Gambit has 3 different modes of play now. You got regular Gambit, then you've got Gambit Prime, and then you've got the Reckoning, which I don't even know if that counts as Gambit, but if it did, that's even better, because that's not even a PvP thing. That's a group event. However, they disabled it in Gambit because of errors people were getting. So now it's strictly Crucible, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
It is horrible. I don't necessarily know that I'm going to make that. Unless they change something. There's been plenty of complaints and pitchforking and that sort of thing going on in the subreddit, at least. And they've responded back that, you know, we'll see what we can look into doing. The error, it's probably not going to go back into Gambit because of the errors that people were getting. It was kicking them from the game. So it's probably not going to go back into there. Maybe we'll lower the requirement. You know, we'll drop it from 200 orbs generated to something else, which that I could possibly deal with. But if it's still stuck in Crucible, it's going to be hard to do. And I'll tell you why it's going to be hard to do. So for the spring event, they're all about like, hey, it's spring. Let's have fun. It's the revelry is what they call it. Yeah. Revel in everything. And so they've got a thing. They've got a tonic you can drink. And the drink can either affect your class ability, which for what did you main in your what did you main what did you play you played Warlock, right?
That was Destiny 1. I think Destiny 2 my main was the Hunter.
You went Hunter. All right, so your class ability in a Hunter would have been the dodge, you know, that little sidestep thing. So they got one that when you activate that, it increases the amount of time it decreases the cooldown time, so you can use it over and over again. So you can either do it your class ability, your melee ability, or the grenade ability. The kicker is that the more gear you get from the revelry that are strictly revelry gear, that increases each piece of gear you equip, increases the amount of time, or actually decreases the amount of time it takes for that thing to cool down. So at the beginning, it's just like, I'll throw a grenade, wait a little bit, throw a grenade, wait a little bit, throw a grenade. Then by the time that I've gotten all 5 pieces of gear, which I do on my Warlock, it is, I'm hitting the button every 1 second. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. So in Crucible, this is horrible. Because it is, you remember the worst part about Call of Duty whenever you'd spawn in? Remember Call of Duty multiplayer? As soon as everybody hit,
grenade spam,
you throw a grenade. Yeah. You know, throw it as high as you could, as far as you could, and hopefully it hit somebody.
Yeah,
that's all you're getting now in the Crucible. So because like, people can just chunk it.
So it's like mayhem with grenades.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of that sounds like fun.
Well, it isn't now. Actually, it is. If I wasn't trying to do what I'm trying to do,
a specific thing.
Yes.
If you're just in there throwing chaos around, then yeah, you'd probably have a good
time. It's actually
time.
A lot of fun. Well, the other complaint is that this also extends into the competitive Crucible side of things. The one where your rank increases with wins and decreases with losses. And that is a horrible decision. Why they ever thought to include that in there, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But it was a bad, bad decision. So, yeah, it's
just oversight.
It's bad. It's bad. Huh?
Just oversight.
Look
good on paper. But
I don't think it's a. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it's an oversight. I don't know that they really thought.
It's a feature, not a bug.
Right. I think it was something where, again, it's not that they internally tested this. Maybe they didn't. I think it's more of a situation where they thought, yeah, let's do this. Let's do it across. And then they figured out that, well, we can't. You know, there's something in there where we can't. If we disable it from this Crucible activity, it's disabled for all Crucible activity. So we can't actually do that. We have to implement it somehow. If we take it out of one aspect of Gambit, then it's taken out of all aspects of Gambit.
Right.
So I think maybe that was a situation, and they said, "Well, just put it in there, and we'll see how it goes." Mm-hmm. And it's gone horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. Again, this goes back to something we talked about last week, where I don't know their job, I don't do their job, I don't know what goes into their job. For me, saying that, oh, it's as simple as flipping a switch, it's going to change things.
You don't know that it is.
It's probably not. It's very likely not. And I don't exactly know how difficult it is to fix something like this. So, let's see. Here's a crazy idea. Quit playing. Yeah, thanks. I didn't realize I had to download a legacy map thing. I figured.
Yes.
Where was this conversation? I've completely missed a conversation here.
Lethal Migraine, doing the new elusive target in Hitman 2. It's actually on a legacy map. It's on Sapienza.
Oh.
And since he already had Hitman 1, he got the legacy pack for free, but he didn't know that he had to download that stuff. Mm. And, I mean, the interest, I guess maybe good, bad, you know, that goes into that is you get all the original Hitman 1 levels, right?
Right.
The legacy stuff in Hitman 2, where you could use your briefcase, you could use all the stuff from Hitman 2, but you have to basically redo the Hitman 1 levels, which, I mean, I don't mind going back through them, but, like, you know, when you're doing, like, Hokkaido, which is the last level.
Yeah.
When you start off, you have, like, no items that you could bring in with you, mm-hmm. you know, because that's just how, it is. After you do the mastery of each level, then, like, when you hit 20, then you could actually do items that you could bring in, with you. Mm-hmm. So you have to sort of, like, redo all the levels to do the mastery to get all the stuff that you've had from the very first Hitman 1. So it's interesting because with this new elusive target, like I said, it's in Sapienza. And I'm going back through and I'm like, oh, hey, I don't have any of the starting positions unlocked, mm-hmm. you know, from doing the mastery stuff. So, all right, I had to just basically start from scratch.
Yeah.
I don't have any of the weapons or equipment that I would have had from Hitman 1. It didn't follow over. Mm-hmm. So it's a new way of just, you know, going back and getting those challenges again and doing that stuff over again, mm-hmm. if you don't mind doing that.
Yeah.
But I was able to silent assassin the new elusive target.
All right,
so far this season, all of the elusive targets I've done, I've gotten the silent assassin rating on all of them. Mm-hmm. So
I keep forgetting that they're there even after being
reminded. That's top tier rank.
Okay. I don't know if it's necessarily that it's easier or maybe I'm just more used to the game now and
it's the latter.
I've been taking my time and mm-hmm. everything because I remember when I was doing the Silent Assassin in Sapienza the first time, I got busted, you know, right as I killed the target by a guard that just walked in because I went, you know, didn't have my situational awareness down. Mm-hmm. And so this time I've been, like, a lot more methodical about doing it. And so far I've been able to get the top ranking on all of them, which is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Is there a ranking leaderboard, like quickest times? I think you mentioned that before, wasn't it?
I think there is. I mean, I don't really pay attention to that because it's just more for personal fulfillment.
Okay.
You know, like I think that very first elusive target was Sean Bean. Mm-hmm. Someone was able to kill him in 47 seconds.
Yeah, it was fast.
Mm. You just start off, bang. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But it took me a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
What else have you played? Anything else?
I got on Steam, they have a sale going on for Dying Light.
Oh, okay.
Mm. And I've been looking at that one for, I know it's an old.
Is that the parkour zombie thing?
Yeah, done by Techland, the guys mm-hmm. that did Dead Island. And it's hasn't been like on sale for the longest time. It's always, even though it came out, I think when the PS4 first came out, it's been about $54 just, you know, for the most part this entire time.
You know, Dead Island 2 still has not released.
That it has, and it's called Dying Light.
Yeah, I was sitting in Sony's theater at E3 and saw that trailer.
Yeah.
And it is still not released.
I don't know if it will.
Yeah, I'm not really banging any doors down to have it.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying Dying Light.
I enjoyed what little bit of it I played. I really should have played more of it, but
it's
I enjoyed it.
Four player. You can
it is.
Co-op it. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out if I had four friends with this game.
Yeah, well, you got one at least.
Yeah.
Because I have it, but.
Okay.
What was the price on it, Sam?
Just the base is, I think, 13. I got the enhanced edition for 17 with, like, the DLC.
17, everything?
Yeah.
Is that bad at all?
No. Not at all.
So, I've been playing that. Because I had it on the PlayStation 4 when it first came out, and I haven't played this in years. Mm-hmm. So, I knew about it enough, and, like, you know, I progressed enough in it, you know, further in the PS4 that... So I know kind of what I'm doing and everything, mm-hmm. but I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
RJ, what about you?
I play a little bit of Destiny 2 as well.
Got back into it, huh?
After our conversation, I had to check some things, like to see whether or not my Titan's mark had its sash attached to it.
Yeah.
It did. since I didn't have the Forsaken part yet, not yet anyway, I was doing some missions, some public events, things, build mm-hmm. my level up, things like that. And it's amazing to me still to this day, there's still a lot of people who don't know how to make public events heroic. I was doing one of my standbys was the weapons cache from the Fallen on Titan.
That is weapons cache on Titan.
Is that the
two tanks? The tanks, right?
Yeah. Well, two tanks if it turns heroic, right? Well, yeah. Well, the first tank comes in, and you know the deal. Knock it down, get the electric orbs to come
out. How fast did they kill it, though?
Let's see. There were level 50s in there attacking it while some of us were trying to get the things to the orbs to the receptacles.
I'm almost positive they know how to make it heroic. They were just griefing you.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm almost positive they know. Here's the once they released the Whisper sniper rifle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the Whisper. That takes out a tank.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you get the neck exposed,
it extends, yeah.
That thing, because it regenerates ammo. It's very mm-hmm. much like Icebreaker.
Yeah.
From way back when. That's an old throwback. If you get three precision shots with the sniper rifle, mm-hmm. puts three back in your magazine.
So mm-hmm. That neck part's so big. How can you not?
And that's a precision hit every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they can take that thing out fast. And wow. I honestly feel they're probably either just griefing you mm-hmm. or they've got something that says, you know, finish a public event or take out a yellow bar enemy or something. They're just doing it fast. Mm-hmm. It sucks because they could have two to take out instead of just one. But yeah. And I hate that you had to go through it.
Well, it was, like I said, there was a 50s, and the level is 50 now. I think I'm at like 30 something. And there was some folks in there who, like eights or nines, you know, probably just starting out. Mm. So, even worse. So, I did the witch's ritual
right.
as well. And we were able to get that more heroic more often than the weapons cache.
Well, because you can't, yeah, I mean, there's a way. It's not as easy to, you know, it's not as easy to grief on that one, you know. Mm-hmm. You take out the two witches, and then the two crystals show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just shoot those.
Yeah.
And then, so all you have to do, I can one man make that heroic. I can one man the other stuff to make it heroic. Mm-hmm. But because that other one is based on keeping that other tank alive.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna have griefing in that aspect. I'm trying to think if there's any others. There's not many others other than people just not doing what they're supposed to do, mm-hmm. where that they can intentionally keep that happening for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's not that many others that come across my mind like that.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the worst. Every time I go to Titan to do that, I'm like, all right, am I gonna get some, you know, annoying person who's gonna
yeah.
ruin this for me, or are they gonna, you know. Play nice. Do it the right way.
Well, Destiny is not a game I think about when it comes to griefing, really. When it comes to griefing, I think about...
It's the best way I could put it.
Yeah, well, the only game I think about with griefing is Grand Theft Auto Online.
Right,
that's like griefing.
Red Dead Redemption.
That one.
Yeah.
That's the best example I could give.
It really, you know, it's not necessarily griefing, but it is...
No, I mean, if it's intentionally screwing it up for everybody else, then yeah, I would call that griefing.
Most likely that is what's going on. Most likely.
Yeah.
They look at you, they're like, oh, look, here's a little 30 guy running around. I'm going to make this difficult for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I'm sorry.
Yeah. So. No, I didn't feel bad about it.
I'll
go back eventually.
What else?
We played a lot of fighting games this weekend. We went to GT and had a Street Fighter V tournament. So we had a good time during that, during the Prince night. at GT. So it was like Prince in the back and Street Fighter V on the main floor.
Okay.
So we had a little tournament. Not a good turnout, but we put notice out for everybody. But the people that did show up, we had a good time playing and had a double elimination tournament and had a real fun time going that. So shout outs to Alex and Jamal, who got first and second place respectively, and good work from them.
Congrats, Alex and Jamal.
Yeah. And we also played a little bit of King of Fighters 14. We were trying to get those nasty combos we saw on combo videos that one of the friends of ours, Naz Ghazi, does. He gets like a 96, 97 hit combo with this character named Vanessa, and we were trying to do that last night. We didn't get very far. We got like 18, 19, and still, we're going to stop from here. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're a little fatigued. I don't think we're going to make it as far. We'll try it again later. Other than that, I played a little bit more of Sekiro.
How much of the how much of the life meter does it go down with a 96 hit combo?
Well, with the scaling and everything, and the fact that he added a 2 meter super at the end of it, it took about 98%.
Wow!
It about takes a full bar.
All right.
The game, of course. Then again, in that game, you can also chain 2 supers together and get like 80 or 85. So. One is just for style and skill and things like that. Other is just if you want damage, you can just do that and get as much as you want that way.
Okay.
Yeah. But as I was saying, got back into Sekiro.
Yeah.
I got to Genichiro Ashina at the top of the Ashina Castle. From what I gather, it's a three phase fight, and I think the problem I'm having really is learning what he does, because that's what. That's basically in a From Software game. You get to a boss, you got to discover what the enemy does and see how you can counter. Because he does this, you do this. And if you don't do that, you're going to lose half your health and you're going to get gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But I think the problem I'm having is I'm trying to damage his health instead of weaken his posture. I think I can go faster weakening his posture than I could damaging his health. Because if I get his posture up, I get a death blow in. Mm-hmm. And one of his health meters goes away and I get to start all over again. But, from what I gathered, like I said, it's a three-tiered fight. Two with his normal attacks, and then one he charges up with lightning or something, and it gets to a really, really more difficult fight.
Charging his laser.
Yeah. But and of course, with all From Software titles, if you fail in any phase, you get to start all over again from scratch. So that's where I'm at now. That's the roadblock I'm at now, and I think it's, from what I've gathered, it's one of the hardest fights in the game. So I got my work cut out for me with that one. So that's pretty much all I've been doing this week.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, we are going to take our first break here. Real quick, I want to run down everybody hanging out in the chat room because we appreciate you being there. AC Wraith and Apricot Droop Fruit, which is a fun name. Blake Mecklenburger Bergart.
Yeah, it used to be
Star Stealer. Commander Roots, Draenio, I think. Ferosar, Kimberly Grace, 777. Lethal Migraine, Polizia, Random Man X, hey Random Man, me and Anna had fun in that, first, because the Warlock has this exotic helmet you can wear so that when your void balls get thrown, the damage they inflict increases your super so that by the time it's done, you've got another void ball ready to throw, and he and I going through the spring event where our grenades are just constantly as soon as we get our supers up, it's just, you got this group? Okay, I'll get the next group. You got this? You guys, we're just boom, 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 boom. We always have fun because whoever's coming along with us is usually like a hunter or a titan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just orbs for days and, you know, just keep going and going and going. I think the highest I got up was 60, level 60 on the forest.
Wow.
Going through it. So 60 clears in the entire thing, which you don't need to do because the time, whatever, I'm not talking about it. Random NX is there. S1 Faka, Skinny Seahorse, Steven Van Damme, Tactus 59, Ted, T-E-Y-Y-T, Thar 66, VNK, and Virgo Pros. In the chat room. We appreciate you guys hanging out. And if you want to get into the chat room, just go to our Twitch channel. Go to twitch.tv, type in game chat, and then you'll find us. Go to our website, ingamechat.net, click on the Twitch link, and then boom, it's going to automatically pop up for you.
And then join in the chat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another game that another game that is on sale right now, I think for about $14 or something like that, is, it's not the sequel to Papers, Please, but it's the next game from that developer.
Oh, the Obra Den.
Yeah. We have music from Return of the Obra Den. This is called Loose Cargo. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chats. music appropriately enough from City of Heroes. This was, it's listed as Founders Fall. They played two different tracks there, but I think they're both from Founders Falls. Which was never really, if I remember right, Founders Falls was the nature area.
Sure. I think. That
That's where
the nature park,
not Perez Park.
Okay. All right,
yeah, Perez Park had the big giant park in the middle of it.
Yeah,
with all the I can't remember what I want to call them, Hive, but they're not Hive because that's a different game. No, Founders Falls had where you actually fought trees.
Okay,
they were like big angry tree men,
like Ents.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was all nature specific. It was all about nature, and that's also where the Halloween event took place.
It's okay. Says the enemies here with a fifth column, circle of thorns, the council, the cray. Was that it? The tree pole?
No, the cray is the alien species.
Okay, devouring earth.
Devouring earth would be
Nemesis and the Rikti.
Yeah. I think it was the devouring earth. Plus the that's where the big. He would spawn every now and again, Hamadon, I believe.
Yeah.
He was this big blobulous thing that would spawn, and you'd have to take him out.
And whoever called, call back.
Oh. Was that who we were supposed to talk to?
I don't know.
Oh, they just hang up?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I answered it quick enough. Oh, apparently I didn't.
Yeah, but there they go. Oh, the Kray was the Rikti. Yes, the Rikti are the aliens. Yes.
Yeah.
The Kray was, it's been a long time.
Yes.
It's been a very long time. Okay, good. So let me open up my Discord here because they're prepared to answer the questions that I sent, and I did not move those over into where I needed to put them. So here we go. Got it. And it's a massive wall of text that I sent.
Discord is fun.
It is very fun. We have so. I'm going to let them explain the situation because I had asked them to do a summary. I have sort of been catching up on everything that has taken place.
Yes.
And I'm still exactly not too clear. I have a gist, but I don't have the exact sort of situation as to what happened. I don't have some missing details, and I'd rather somebody who who probably knows more about that, talk about it than me. I was going to make an attempt, but I thought if I can get somebody on who
actually knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, who really knows what they're talking about. And so I found this kind citizen to help us. Hi, welcome to In-Game Chat. You're on the air.
Hi, you're making a lot of assumptions about me being a nice person.
Oh, well, you know, you're nice enough to be on this show. That's a pretty nice thing to do. I can tell you that.
You asked nicely, so it's the least I could do.
Well, a lot of stuff was happening yesterday, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me, because I bugged you, and I thought any of these administrators in this Discord are probably
going to block me.
I mean,
times.
Well, no, they're probably very, very, because that Discord was getting...
Yeah, hammered.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, this is peak time for City Heroes right now. More peak than it's ever been for this thing. Because it's been gone for a long time.
It's been pretty underground.
So I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show here. And I know you've got something going on later and we need to kind of get through this. It's hard for me to stick to the plan because I'm so excited that City of Heroes is something to talk about again.
Yes.
Every single one of us in this room.
We both.
Yeah. Every single one of us in this room have all played it. We all played it together. We all had our super team.
I still remember my character's name.
What was your name?
Selwyn.
Yes, and yours was?
Dr. Garland.
Dr. Garland. Mine was Mobius.
Yep.
James was Frakier?
Yeah.
And, man, I wish I could remember what Jeremy's name was. And we had a great little team, and we'd play this thing. And
Kevin was
Spectrum?
Too.
Spectrum was, yes, Spectrum.
Yeah.
I don't remember Kevin's.
Was Jeremy's, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a healer as well, like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a great game.
I was a blaster because I was like, I'm going to make this thing
fire blaster.
As close as Superman as I can, and that was horrible because flying sucks. well, as a travel power, Super Jump is just the more efficient way to do things. Anyway, let me get down to this.
You did a few enhancements to make flying, you know, really usable because it was just so slow.
It really was. And it was so the enhancements just far outweighed the just the efficiency of everything. I could use those enhancements in other things and get a lot better than trying just to fly. Mm-hmm. But man, I tell you what, I stood next to James and I was like, dude, I got to hover. Look, click the button, and like I slowly started. I was like, look at dude, I'm flying, and we just thought it was the best. Oh man, going back. So yeah, we got hit in the face with a big block of nostalgia yesterday.
Yeah.
So if you can you summarize a little bit about what happened earlier this week? The gist of it is that City of Heroes, a game that has been shut down since 2012, actually was found to be active for the past 6 years on apparently a private server. And I think that's the correct way, but can you give us some more background on that?
Yeah, I mean, from what I know, that's pretty accurate. A YouTuber showed a video, had some evidence showing that the server was active, running on apparently some unreleased content, and it just went crazy after that, and the City of Heroes community posts on Reddit and other places just, it just exploded and spread like wildfire as people were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other things that happened. Some interesting strangeness that occurred with the person that had this. I don't want to bore everybody with too many details. There's an article on MassivelyOP.com published on April 15th that contains a lot more of the day-to-day and what happened leading up to, you know, the events we're in now. But what we're really just jazzed about is the fact that we've got a private, there is a private server running right now. There's stuff happening where people are able to log in and play, and there are a huge number of people working on this, just trying to get it out where so many of these people that have been wishing for this game to come back can play it again.
Now, you didn't know, you're like the majority of everyone else. When this news broke, that's how you found out about it, correct?
Yeah, I saw the news on Discord and just started watching. I mean, it's been incredible seeing the community effort that's gone into this. Everybody's just so incredibly excited, and looking at people's posts on Reddit, somebody posted yesterday that they were able to log in and seeing people in the starting zone of Atlas Park, they just started to cry. So many people are so emotionally attached to this game.
Yeah.
There are people talking about meeting their spouse in the game. For me, I was in college when City of Heroes was out.
Yeah.
And it was a way for me to connect with my younger brother back home. We would team up and play together when, you know, I'm hundreds of miles away. It was a great way to stay connected, and so many people have so many stories just like that. It was more than just a game. It was a community to so many people, and it's what everyone's trying to do is just give that community back.
They really are. They're the that's more, you know, I had sent him this stuff earlier in the evening last night, and this was in the middle of me trying to get into that server as well. And the tone at first, when the tone earlier in the week was, how could they keep this from us? Why did they keep this from us? How come they're not? How come it's not out there? And honestly, if this was revealed, I would say any less than the amount of years that it's been, I think something would have been done to stop it outright. But given the amount of time that has gone by, I don't want to get too comfortable saying that nothing's going to happen, but I feel like things are good. You know, I feel like this is okay.
I was
that seems to be what a lot of people are kind of feeling, is, you know, hoping that, you know, we're just going to be allowed to have this essentially dead game and be able to enjoy it.
That would be nice.
Nobody's doing this looking to make any money.
Right.
This is everybody that's working on this. It's all volunteer work since the code leak a couple days ago. There are developers all over the world that have been working on it. I mean, there hasn't been a minute that nobody was looking at this, trying to update what's there and make it usable on current systems.
Yeah, everybody has been doing a massive amount of work to get this thing up and running. And I mean, it's just a test server, and it's gone through. If I had to look at that test server, it's probably it's been beaten and beaten bad. this thing,
yeah.
For how many people have been trying to get it. And kudos to whoever's doing this and getting it out there, because they've had to shut it down, reboot it, work on it to make sure it's going to run again, and do a bunch of stuff that I don't know anything about. But it's taken a lot of time, and it's taken a lot of effort, and it's taken a lot of work. That's on the server side of things. The code itself had to go through the entire code of the game and sort of fix issues, take out things, fix mm-hmm. things. They had to work on a lot of stuff just to get it ready for the amount of people who were dying to get back in there. And I really never thought that we would... I never thought earlier in the week when I heard about this that I would be playing it by the end of the week, or at least creating a character, you know.
I wonder if this will just sort of like spark that little, you know, part of me hopes it will spark the interest that, you know, the people that made it might be like, oh, there's still a community out here. There's still a desire for this.
I don't know. I don't even know what they're doing now. I don't even know what became of that company or what happened. Other than probably folded. And I'm not talking about NCSoft. I'm talking about Cryptic and Paragon, those guys, and whatever happened to them. I used to follow them, too. I used to be very like, oh, what are they working on now? But then it just... I was there the night they shut it down. I was there. Yeah. Me and Jeremy were both in Atlas Park. You know, the devs were showing up, and they were dropping all sorts of stuff inside Atlas Park, just having fun. Things that you would never see elsewhere, or wouldn't see in Atlas Park, for God's sakes.
I remember I was sitting on my couch in my living room. My wife was next to me and talking to people, and you know, standing under the statue of Atlas there, and everybody's got, you know, doing the hold torch emote, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it was you could tell, and from the chat people were getting very emotional, and
yeah,
it was sad to see it go. It really was.
I mean, I'd say even more so than World of Warcraft, this was my first real...
Oh, this was my first MMO.
You know, just MMO that I fell in love with.
It was my very first MMO. And
same for me as well.
Yeah, I feel like I got kind of spoiled by it, considering this was probably the last time that all of us were
together,
like there doing a thing, you know, focused and doing one thing together with that many people. I think maybe it goes, maybe Destiny 2, Taken King stuff, because I know Jeremy got in on that. You got in on that, James. RJ was there for us. Kevin, I was there. Yeah. Kevin, was he doing that too with us? Okay. So,
but yeah, for this, I was living in England at the time, so it was a chance for me to play with my friends back home,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I wouldn't really thought I would able to until that came out, and I was like, yeah, it holds a very special place.
City of Heroes was one of those games that actually got me to play games on the PC.
You know, okay.
You know how reluctant, how rare it is for me to play something on the PC, but the attraction of having all of us together playing this game, helping each other out, doing things like that. On PC, it really got me into it.
Yeah, I think that it feels like, and I could be wrong in this, but it feels like the community has gone from pitchforks to balloons and confetti, because it's turned into a huge celebration of, this is amazing, this is wonderful, how do I get in on this, I want to get in on this and do this. And I know we're coming up close on time here, so I'll go with that last question. The pessimistic outlook on this is that, you know, it completely goes away, it gets shut down, and we can't do what we want to do and have fun. The fun police show up, basically. The optimistic side of this thing is that that doesn't happen. Everything continues the way it is. What do you see happening from here?
So, excuse me, I was one of the earlier people to join that Discord, and it, you know, went up Thursday morning, and there's 3,000 plus people on it now.
Wow.
It's just everybody, there's so many comments in there, people are just dumbfounded by the response. Links were posted all over the place, and you know, within hours there were dozens of developers worldwide talking and sharing information, sharing their insights, looking at what's going on, and you know, the community effort's been incredible. People just all over the place have pulled resources and just to try and get us to get a working server.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 days ago, we thought maybe there'd be a working server in 3 months. You know, 2 days ago, we've got, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. Yesterday, maybe 2 weeks.
Let's try it tonight.
Yeah, last night, there's a working server, and everybody is just amazed and enthralled. Reading through the Discord, so many people are talking about, like, there was a post on Reddit, somebody said, I had a child born today, and this City of Heroes coming back is almost the best thing that's happened to me today. It's just incredible how the community's responded to this, so much positivity, and everybody's just cheering these developers on. There's so many people that don't know, you know, C++ from Pascal, from, you know, Word, that are just watching. We're sitting back and watching going, go, guys, go. And it's just fantastic to watch this community come together. It's like, even before they had the working server, it's like the game community was back together again. It almost felt like being back in Paragon City.
Yeah.
With everybody just being so enthused and jazzed about what's happening.
You could see how it's touched a lot of people's lives.
It really has. The emotional response is incredible.
I would love to get a hold of one of the developers from back then.
Yeah.
And talk to them about what they, if they paid attention to this, and I'm sure that they have, if they've looked through the comments and just seen the excitement in people who are getting back into this game that they had a hand in creating. I would love to talk to one of them, mm-hmm. To find it. You know, we weren't doing the show whenever City of Heroes was around. We weren't doing that. And that's another, I remember visiting, was it E3 or was it PAX? I remember visiting a PAX, one of my very first PAX, and there was a City of Heroes meetup in Seattle. And I tried to get to it, but they had cut off the amount of people they'd let in. Like, they hit capacity for the room. But there were some developers down there. And there were people from the forums. What was his name? Cup of Coffee? Cup of Joe? Cup of Joe? Was that his name?
Yeah. Cup of Joe was one of the community leads.
Yeah, he was there. And yeah, I had a live journal, and there was a live journal community dedicated to City of Heroes. That it goes very way back, and I know it's nostalgia glasses, but when I get in there and play it again, I don't even care. I get in there and I make my character. And another cool thing about this thing is that everything is unlocked. Everything is open. Like, you can play as a hero or a villain. You can play the Going Rogue thing that they released, mm-hmm. or you can do the City Heroes, City of Villains thing. Mm-hmm. You can pick all the stuff is unlocked that you want. The auras, the everything. It's completely right there. Now, you can't jump from level 1 to level 50 in there, and you can't pick, like, hey, I'd like to start, you know, this far into the game or something like that.
Right.
But as far as you're creating your character goes, it's open.
Have at it.
You can even pick that, like when you hit a prestige, and this didn't come out until later, I think. when you hit a prestige, you could pick an alien character. Praetorian, I think is what it was called. Was that it? The little alien creature.
Yeah, Praetorian was like an alternate Earth kind of thing.
Yeah, it was the one where you played as an alien, kind of weird, like.
You're talking about the Keldeans.
What it is.
Peacebringers and Warshades.
Yes, because when you hit level 50 or something, you could prestige and create one of those characters. But those are unlocked at the beginning, I believe, as well.
Early on you had to level cap first, and then you could make one of those. I still remember I level capped my first character. I was so excited to go make a Keldean.
Yep, and I made one, and like your first, like instead of getting a sprint power, your first power is like a mobility power. Mm-hmm. Flights or something like that. And so that was real. It was just, God, bring back so many memories. I only got into the tutorial last night before, I say last night, it was actually this morning, before they shut down the servers, had to reboot. So I haven't gotten back in there yet, but I'm excited to do it. I'm really excited to get back in there. I don't necessarily know that it's going to become like what it used to be for me as far as, I mean, that was some dedicated time I put in there. That was...
Yeah.
That was leaving work early and coming home to play a game and playing it up until I had to go to bed and just keep going and going and going. Right. So I don't necessarily know what's going to hit me then, but I tell you, being in that tutorial zone.
This is back when they were in the grind actually felt.
Oh, God, was it grindy. And the debt.
Yeah, there were some serious feels pulling that up and hearing that the music that plays on the login screen. And
that was wonderful.
The sound effects going through character creation. Mm-hmm. I got to say, one of the things that's got me most excited is, you know, whenever the developers manage to get some code that'll work on just your average desktop home machine, I am so excited to share this game with my kids. I've got two young children, and I've shown them videos. They think it looks amazing. I can't wait to be able to share this just with my children and give them a chance to be, you know, heroes running around Paragon City.
It's wonderful, and I can't wait to kind of get back into it just a little bit and just sort of role play that stuff again. I remember when they gave us like multi-slot costumes. Mm-hmm. And so my guy could be in like his civilian dress and then I'd role play it. I'd have to go hide behind a bush or something and change into my super suit or whatever. It was fun, man. It was so much fun. Had a backstory and we made comic book covers out of our team. We had somebody with Photoshop.
Yeah.
We'd take these screenshots and then he would make comic book covers for us.
Yeah.
I gotta see if I can dig that stuff up, man. Hey, I appreciate you taking time out and talking with us today about this and giving us some more insight on everything that's happening. I really, really do appreciate it. I know you're busy with a lot of stuff, but thank you so much for doing this.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to do it.
All right, we'll talk.
Everybody's just so excited. This is some of the most amazing things that's happened to this community in years.
Yeah, we'll talk. You and I'll talk to you again later on after the show and stuff. And by the way, if anybody is listening right now, anybody from the Reddit who's from the subreddit that's listening, from the Discord that's listening, if anybody who is listening has any sort of connection or contact with anybody who worked on this game from way back when,
let us know.
Please get in touch with me. I would love to have them on the show. That, you know, we have talked to. We've had Amy Henning on the show. Mm-hmm. I've had Rand Miller on the show. I've met the guys who did Criterion Games that I so loved.
Mark Hamill.
We've had Mark Hamill on the show. We had Nolan North. We've had tons of people on the show, and I never once thought to reach back to
that far
my City of Heroes days and see if I could find somebody who worked on that game and talk to them. That's a get I've got to have.
Yep.
So thank you again so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. If nostalgia was a thing, I would have a bruise on my face so big.
Face planting right into it.
Oh, man. The music's not a thing for me because I can go to YouTube and listen to the music anytime I want. And it brings that sort of feeling up. For me, it started with hearing the noise when you type in your ID and password mm-hmm. to log in because mm-hmm. it still is that little chirk, 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 chirk on the screen. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of that. And then I click login and I wait and the music fades out and then pops up on the screen. Now, it's been, again, years since I played the game, so this screen looks completely new to me. I remember my vivid memory of City of Heroes was the character creation screen, but it did not look like what it looked like when I logged in the other night. Mm-hmm. There were so many different things for me to pick from. Because in the amount of time from when this thing was something I played a ton to when they killed it off in 2012, they had done a lot of
updates and
tons of updates and added in a ton of things. Like for us, I remember when we played, capes was a big thing.
Yes.
But then they added wings. They've added wings. They've added tails. You could have a tail on your character now.
Beastman.
Yeah.
Like Nightcrawler.
Well, like a game that's not like this, but it was mentioned in the chat, Phantasy Star Online. Beastman is a race, and one of the things they transform into is a big female, big cat with a big cat with claws and a tail.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But it's so then I'm like doing the character creation, I'm looking at all this, and I'm again overwhelmed now with their character creation is like the open world of character creations. Mm-hmm. You get thrown in, and it's like, well, where do I begin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then even if I begin here, then how do I want, because you can do the head and then the chest and the arms and the boots and the legs and do I want pants or do I want tights? Do I want shorts or do I want, you know.
I kind of
want
to create like Captain Planet now.
Yeah.
There's so much you can do.
Yeah.
There's so much you can do.
I remember making I made 3 or 4 characters in there in total with my main.
I think I made about 3 or 4, yeah.
You did as well?
I had about two.
Two.
I had my Superman guy, and then I had Mobius, mm-hmm. And then I had my Keldian after that, and then I had my villain, too. I also had my villain and my villain was a robot who had pet robots. So he was this...
Ultron?
He was this big robot guy, and his pets were other robots, so you got 3 little minion
like little
robots.
Familiars?
Yeah, you got 3 little minion bots, then you got 2 like little bigger than that bots, and then you got this one really big bot who was like your tank guy who would do his thing. And I named them all after DuckTales. So I had Huey, Dewey, and Louie were my 3. I think Launchpad was my, or no, Gizmo was my, Gizmo Duck was my big guy.
Is this the same game? But it sounds like was there an enemy there? Clockwork King?
Yeah.
That was in City Heroes, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you had to go to King's Fall and fight. You had to do a strike.
Yeah.
Which is not what Destiny strikes are. This was these strikes, I remember watching the sun come up doing these strikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they took a lot of effort.
They were long and involved.
They took a lot of effort.
Yes.
It took a while.
And you had to fight the Volstock, I believe. There were the zombies in the sewer.
I remember the Volstock because this dude kept attacking an enemy who was way too much of a problem for him.
Yeah,
you know the skull. You know we see in
go
the skull
fight here. Kill skulls.
Yeah, no. look, I'm a healer, not a miracle worker. It's like that
right.
Star Trek thing. I'm a doctor, Jim. Not a
yeah.
miracle.
Yeah,
worker.
Because some ways that you picked your character wasn't really suitable for solo play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Support guy. Not good for solo.
Because I can remember seeing the global chat of need a healer, or we just need a whatever it was. Yeah. Needed a healer or a controller. Somebody to control the mobs and then somebody to heal you or debuff them, the mobs that they were holding on to. So. Because they already had a tanker and all this, you know.
And mine was healing. Because, like I said, healing and dark miasma was my powers. So mostly healing. I never really got to use a lot of my offensive stuff. It was basically healing when I was in the group.
The Halloween event was fun.
You'd go when you get a rock?
You'd go and knock on the doors. You didn't get inside indoor missions, but you just knock on every door. And you'd get either some sort of candied thing, whatever, or you'd get a rock.
I remember that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which was fantastic. And then the Christmas thing when you had snowball fights.
Mm-hmm.
You could pick up snowballs. Oh, man. That's fun. It's so much fun. I'm sorry that we're nostalgic on this, but it's been probably 6 years since we've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Our old website before in-game chat ever showed its face was a game called Mouse Look. And in Mouse Look is where we had and we created a new forum for us to talk about City of Heroes,
mm-hmm.
so that we could gather up and say, okay, I'm going to run this, or look what they're doing, look what's changed. This was back when news wasn't as freely or as readily available.
Yeah.
As it is now. It was there, but it wasn't anything like what it is. So
you see in the chat room where it says skiing in a pocket dimension?
Pocket D. No, oh. Pocket D was the dance club you could go into.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Which Pocket D didn't come around until a few later updates from when we were playing. But I was never big on that. I was never big on going in there and just doing the dance stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was still focused on the grind. I was still focused on, well, no, I'm working on this mission so I could gather this level or get to this level and unlock this power.
Yeah.
There was the ghost ship that would show up in one of the cities, and I can't remember which one it was, but there was a ghost ship that would sometimes spawn. And a sea monster that would sometimes spawn around the ghost ship, I think.
I think one of the last things I remember was traveling around Boomtown.
It was Boomtown, yep.
Yeah. Then that way was when there a strike or ray or something like that.
It was a strike, I think. Yeah. I'm sure there was a strike, yeah. The first strike that I ever did was Positron Strike. Did hit, that was the first one that I ever did.
Recall how long it took you to get through it?
Yeah, I guess that's one of the ones where I was watching the sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we started it at probably, I mean, we started at maybe 11 o'clock that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not prepared for I was not prepared at all
mm-hmm.
to be up that late. But boy, when it was done, man, we were so happy.
Yeah.
Number one, that it was over. Number two, that we had just completed it. It was a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the ski slopes that Drano was talking about. That's interesting.
Just during Christmas in there, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a Christmas event when there was snowball fights,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember ski slopes in Pocket D.
It looks like a race, too.
Yeah.
How fast can you get down this hill?
You know, that came out in 2004, and we played it a good... I want to say it came out in April or May of 2000. April, because the 15th anniversary is coming up.
April 27, 2004 is when it debuted in North America.
The anniversary is coming up next weekend. So we started in April. WoW released in November of that year. November or December of that year.
Okay, let's see.
World of War, because that's how we lost James.
Yeah.
And honestly, by the end of the year, we had gone through as much as we had gone through, and we were, for the most part, I think it was just me there.
November of 2004.
Yeah, November of 2004 is when WoW hit. Yeah. And that took a big chunk of the player base away from City of Heroes.
Yeah.
And it was sad to see. But,
you know, I think about it.
That's sort of when things dissolved for us.
You know, now mm-hmm. I think about it, all this talk about World of Warcraft, I would think it was the one that came out first, but
mm-mm. No, City of Heroes first. But Dissolve for us doesn't mean that I stopped playing. I still was doing the stuff. I was still in there. I was trying to get to 50. I was trying to get my Keldian. And then City of Villains was announced, and I said, well, I'm going to do that too. You know, I picked up the DVD edition so I could get the special cape, and there was a special slide graphic or what. It was like the sprint thing had this, like, I don't know, skate thing or something. It was stupid, but it still said that you know, it's like, oh, you must own this content.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you got it. I still have my little Statesman Hero Click figure
mm-hmm.
that I got from that box. I still have the cape that came with the City of Villains box.
Because
mm-hmm. there's a little, and it was not a cape that you could wear. Well, you could, but on me, it would look silly. But yeah, I have my City of Heroes guide
mm-hmm.
from one of those guidebook companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my City of Villains guy that I have is a 3-ring binder.
Jeez.
Yeah. Because you could add stuff to it. As stuff came out, you could get that and then add it to the binder. And I still have all of that. I still have it all. What I wish that I had was my screenshots. Mm. And I think I do somewhere. But I'd have to find them.
If I had any, it'd be my old PC.
Yeah, I'd like to find my screenshots, and I would... If they had kept the database, they couldn't. They couldn't keep the database, the player database on this, just because of all the sensitive information that it held.
Yeah.
In fact, that's one of the things that everybody worked to do. They worked to scrub the code of player information, if it existed. Mm-hmm. There are conflicting reports saying that, yes, there was player information, and no, there wasn't. Because once you start saying that, yeah, I have player information, that gets a little sketchy on the... it's already a bad thing, but if NCSoft is not saying anything, whatever. But if you have player information, that's really bad. The other thing was they were scrubbing it so that there was nothing in there that could get back to whoever leaked it from NCSoft. Because
you don't want to burn that bridge.
Somebody inside there, from as the story goes, and this is from the massively OP article. Somebody from the City of Heroes team had the code and gave that out once they had shut everything down. But there were things in it that could trace back to that person, and so they got rid of that as much as they could. Mm-hmm. So, now it's out there and people are playing it. So, anyway, we're way behind on a break, so we have to go. Here's music from City of Villains. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music for... Have you ever played, either of you, a game called One Finger Death Punch?
No.
I think I've seen it.
Isn't that a band?
That's like a...
That's
like
Five Finger Death Punch.
Oh, so it's four less fingers.
Yeah. Are you watching... What are you watching right now?
Oh, I got auto game playing.
Oh, you're playing something. You're playing a game.
It's playing itself.
What game are you... Why is it playing itself?
Because I put... Autoplay?
They have autoplay on a game?
Yeah, it's...
Like, I get when it's auto... I get it... So the... Your baseball game, where it's like you can sim everything up until it comes back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the road to the show. You just want to control the aspects that you're in control of. Just you.
It's,
but in that game, you can
Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes.
But that, you can just autoplay and it just plays itself?
Yeah. Like, yeah, in the battle, it plays out the battle by itself.
I've seen plenty of games that do that, though. On mobile phone.
Yeah, anyway. Mobile phone.
Okay. Anyway, they just released...
One Finger Death Punch.
Well, they just released One Finger Death Punch 2.
So it would be Two Finger Death Punch?
No, it's still One Finger Death Punch.
Oh.
Think of it like...
I was asking you, is that the stick figures where they do the martial art? Yeah, mm-hmm. The martial art moves, yeah. Stick figure combat.
Yeah, it's basically stick figure combat.
Yeah.
But it looks really cool, and it's got Twitch integration as well, so people can...
Huh.
People can join in on the game and whatever. They can type
and they can mess
things.
Up.
Yeah. It looked really interesting. One Finger Death Punch 2 came out, I think, this past week. So let's see if I can get beyond the No, I'm not kidding. Blake Mecklenburg-Art. I'm not kidding. One Finger Death Punch 2 is out there. Because I tried to find music from it, and all I could find was a three-hour cut of the entire soundtrack, and I couldn't get that whole thing just to get one track out of it. So I had to go back to the original. But, yeah. So, now if I can stop gushing over the fact that a very old game is available to play again.
But, I mean, that's an interesting thing that, like, online games like that, that you have time, money, and all this stuff vested into it, what happens when they kill the server? Then you just don't have, for the most part, access anymore. So, you know, like, games that are, you know, have aspects of it online, once that's gone, then what?
But then it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah.
But we always thought we've been under the assumption that it's been gone.
Yeah.
When they cut it off in 2012, and that we'd never get it back, and nothing ever came close. Like, there was Champions Online, I think, that was released during that whole period. People were like, "Oh, let's see if we can't grab that lightning in a bottle again," and nobody really ever could. Marvel never really tried to do an MMO, except they did try to do a lot of games involving their characters. Mm-hmm. In fact, they sued City of Heroes at one point.
Yeah, they did.
Well, people were creating
characters
that were a lot like Marvel, and they lost that case, by the way.
Yeah.
Judge ruled in the favor of City of Heroes, saying, no, what users do with the tools is completely out of their hands.
Yeah, like Spider-Man spelled with a 1 instead of a I.
Yeah, well, I mean, I made Superman, like, and I made, I tried to make him as close as possible, so but DC never sued. Mm-hmm. DC Universe Online felt...
empty?
No, it felt similar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And not necessarily in character creation, but just going back through it. Mm-hmm. That was the closest one, I think, that I ever came to feeling like I was doing it again, like I was doing the City of Heroes thing again. But even then, it didn't last.
Yeah. I played Gotham City Imposters more than that.
Yeah, DC Universe Online still exists. You can still play it. Mm-hmm. It's nothing really wrong with it, but it just did not. It didn't hold me like City of Heroes did. So, I'm just reading something else that. About that, that's kind of bothered me. anyway, so what else is there? There's other stuff. Certainly there is.
So I missed out last week on the talk that you guys had.
The Star Wars talk?
Yeah.
Well, really, just the game was...
I know it's just, you know, a cinematic trailer.
Right.
But as far as story-wise, that's got me very interested.
Yeah, boy, I wish you were here for that, because we really didn't have a lot to talk about like we do this
week. I mean, there really isn't that much to talk about for Jedi Fallen Order.
There isn't. There really isn't, because we just don't know any more than
we know. It'll come out in November.
And I'm sure we'll get more information at E3, probably.
We know it's single player, and we know it's not going to be microtransactions. So already they have my money. When it comes out, I will buy that.
Is anyone believing that, by the way?
What, the microtransactions? Yeah. I do. I do. It doesn't matter to me, because I never bothered with microtransactions. I mean, I've been playing Destiny for God knows how long, and I've never spent any real-world money other than the game itself. Mm-hmm. And they have the option for me to do that, but I've never done it. So when a game decides to use microtransactions, it is not a... It doesn't blip on my radar type thing, because I am not... I am immune to such temptations. I really am.
You got to really hear that siren song.
You got to really. There's got to be something in there. I wasn't at one. Well, that wasn't microtransactions. That was stuff that you'd get when you bought a special edition or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I just talked about City of Heroes, where I had a cape and a Hero Clicks and a bunch of stupid stuff, and I bought that version just so I could have that. But yeah, microtransactions just don't ring a bell on me. If they don't put it in there and people are praising that, sure. But, you know, this is coming from EA, and they're trying to win good favor with you after what happened with their situation before. At the same time, they closed down an entire studio. And I understand that what Amy was working on, Ragtag, I think is what it was called. I understand what she was working on was bleeding money for the company and was taking a long time to develop. But at the same time, it was taking a long time to develop because EA was forcing them to use the Frostbite engine, which this game doesn't. It uses Unreal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where's the switch from that? There was also the fact that she was going in such a direction and the suits were saying, well, how can we monetize this? How can we? Because this was pre-loot box controversy.
Maybe, you know, they learned from their mistake.
Yeah, they learned. I feel like it might be a little bit too late considering they axed her and the entire studio.
Yeah.
Visceral Games, they axed the entire team and said, yeah, stop that. And then somehow Respawn came in with, like, we've got this thing. And here it is, which is fine. That's completely fine, and I hope it works.
Me too.
I mean, I really hope it does. We need to see more. There's still some speculation on, like, what is all this? How's it going to play? What's it going to do? How does it work? They just did not show any gameplay and really didn't tell us anything other than, here's the name of a game, here's what the cutscenes look like. That's it. Mm-hmm. You don't really know anything more about it. So we'll see. Red Chaos says, what episode did you have Mark Hamill? So I can go back and watch. Oh, man. Do you remember what year that was? Where were you? You were out of town. You were out of the country.
Afghanistan? 2014.
Was it 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Batman Arkham City's prior release? Or was it Batman Arkham? Or whatever, Arkham Asylum. Because that's what we had him on for.
Mm-hmm.
We had him on to talk about that, which he did not. He just spent 2 hours.
Just being Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
You just let him go and don't get in the way.
It was fascinating.
You said 2014, right?
That's when I was there, yeah.
About to check the archives real quick.
Trying to see if I can find. The fact that the old boy's been in the news for way too much lately, that it's going to be a very hard thing to find that thing. It's in our archives. It's there.
I'm checking now.
Yeah, you'd have to go to 2014. And I want to say it was around, October, but I feel like that's not right.
I was gone that time. So.
September or October, maybe. Check that.
Okay.
See what you get on that. So, what else would we have?
Did
in
you
the
guys
news here?
Talk? Speaking of microtransactions, did you guys talk about the Resident Evil 2, where if you just spend like $5, you get all the special content?
No.
So
what's that? But wait, how did you originally get the special content before they offered that?
That's that you had to go through and beat the game on S plus. Hardcore rating,
right?
You know, for the unlimited ammo, Gatling gun, the rocket launcher.
But now you just pay $5 and get everything,
and you can get all that stuff without having to go through and do it. So if you just want to play the game without, you know, because some people still like the challenge.
Is there any way that it counts towards you? Are there leaderboards set up?
I don't
leaderboard things. The only thing that challenges in the ResidentEvil.net, those things like that, they don't, any of the challenges I've seen,
they don't allow you to use those special weapons.
So this is just for like,
just for fun.
Just for fun, really.
Okay,
like
so there, if, there, if
it's
there's
a shortcut,
no.
Shortcut, basically.
Yeah, if there's no impact on someone.
On anyone else.
Yeah, if there's no impact that does that, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Mortal Kombat XL, the Crypt.
Mm-hmm.
You can either grind for it
or
get the shortcut.
Here's the money.
For it. Yeah.
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 And again, I'm fine with that. The offer. I've still never taken advantage. It depends on what's offered. Mostly it's cosmetic things. Mostly it's modes of play. But it's nothing that enhances you to be better at it than anybody else that you would play against.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't affect your standings. And if it doesn't, then I'm certainly fine with it being there. Again, as long as it's not a game-breaking thing.
Yeah, it's not messing with anybody's anybody else's experience that way. It's not like those grenades in Destiny. No, it's not gonna do that.
Just going over some of the news since we really have only hit on the one thing. There was a report, I think it was by Kotaku. Again, this comes from Jason Schreier.
Schreier.
Schreier, yeah. Sorry. There was an episode of their podcast where he talked about, I heard that Bungie wanted to do character transfers for PS4 and PC before Forsaken came out, but Sony wouldn't allow it. Sony is just like, we want people to associate Destiny with PS4, even if that means screwing over other players. It sucks, and hopefully Bungie ends it. No, he's not wrong in that regard, because Sony seems to have always been the holdout on this thing.
Yeah.
And I remember us talking about it. And by the way, that's something that if they allow that, RJ, I will be with you on PS4 with my character to play. If that's something they can allow. Bungie is still... They have broken away from Activision, but they are still tied to contracts that Activision made because it has not been a full year yet. And it won't be until September, probably. Or whatever the contract was. And once they're done with that, they can either keep going with it or whatever. The problem now is that you get the whole Epic Games Studio or Epic Games Store and Steam Store situation again. Bungie is now independent. They always kind of have been, except they had Activision's backing on marketing, on money for development. Now it's all got to come from them now. It all has to come from them. And if Sony comes to them and says, we want this stuff, we're going to pay you this much money, I'm going to hate it. But I can't
also can understand why.
I can't blame them.
No.
I really can't blame them. So I'm a little bit nervous about that, you know, because I know they're going to kind of be in that state where it's like, oh, man, that's a good amount of money you're offering here. And we could really use that.
Yeah.
So I can see where they could take that. I would hate it. But I also just can't. I can't blame them. They're on their own now. And they're going to have to make choices like that. What else do we have? We got our first details on the PlayStation 5.
Yep.
Which I don't think this is the first time that it's been acknowledged that Sony does have a PlayStation 5 in the works. Like, everybody knows that the companies are working on their next-gen consoles, but those companies haven't actually admitted that they are, with the exception of Microsoft. I think it was last E3 or so, they mentioned that, yeah, something's coming. But, you know, that's for a later date. So the first details we got were that, the PlayStation 5 will have more powerful specs to match the increased graphics and storage needs for next-gen games. The most exciting bit of news from today's report is that PlayStation 5 will have a solid-state drive, a piece of technology that can dramatically speed up loading times between zones in games and rendering time for game environments. They did not reveal the SSD specs or the manufacturer.
I wonder if I could take that out and put it in my PC.
What, the SSD?
Yeah.
Probably. But I don't know why you would spend that money for...
I know.
Because you're gonna buy a brand new console just for the... I mean, you can get an SSD for a lot cheaper than what a brand new console would cost.
Yeah.
What do we have here? To demonstrate, Mark Cerny fires up a PS4 Pro playing Spider-Man, a 2018 PS4 exclusive that he worked on alongside Insomniac Games. On the TV, Spidey stands in a small plaza. Cerny presses a button on the controller, initiating a fast-travel interstitial screen. When Spidey reappears in a totally different spot in Manhattan, 15 seconds have elapsed. Then Cerny does the same thing on a next-gen dev kit connected to a different TV. The dev kit, an early low-speed version, is concealed in a big silver tower with no visible componentry. What took 15 seconds now takes 0.8.
Jeez.
On the next-gen console, the camera speeds uptown like it's mounted to a fighter jet. Periodically, Cerny pauses the action to prove that surrounding environment remains perfectly crisp. Instead of being the blur that it is, he'll pause it, and then, you know, everything's just right there. If you're wondering about the PlayStation 5's CPU and GPU, the details on that is that the next-generation console ticks all of those boxes, starting with an AMD chip at the heart of the device. The CPU is based on the third generation of AMD's Ryzen line and contains 8 cores of the company's new 7-nanometer Zen 2 microarchitecture. The GPU is a custom variant of Radeon's Navi family. It will support ray tracing, a technique that models light. While ray tracing is a staple of visual effects and beginning to worm its way into $10,000 high-end processors, no game console has been able to manage it.
So that basically gets rid of this... loading screens.
Possibly, yes.
I like the Spider-Man loading screens where he's like in the subway on his phone next to people.
Yeah. jamming to someone with their boombox next to them, or talking to the dude, or the dude with the newspaper looking. Is that who I act? Is this looking left?
I think
right
one of them was even like the guy in the Halloween costume.
Got cosplaying,
you know, cosplaying Spider-Man. Yeah,
they were having a conversation back and forth.
So I mean, I don't know, man.
That's Sony execs are avoiding calling it the PlayStation 5. Instead, preferring next-gen console, even though every prior model followed has a numbering pattern.
Yeah. What else would you... What's wrong with PlayStation
The company's going to call it next, because they don't have a name yet, and that's reserved for marketing. You know? Would you go... Well, who sat in the...
stick.
Who sat in the meeting on Xbox and said, let's call it the One?
That's going to stick, though. PlayStation.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Yeah, that's what people are going to call it.
I'm sure it will. I feel like that's exactly where they're going to go, but it's marketing, man.
Yeah.
They're going to do that. Cerny's comment is interesting about all the GPU and all that stuff that's inside of it, because it leaves the door open for PS5's price to be higher than $400, which was the launch price of the PS4. Mm-hmm. Everything that he's talking about, when you put it into, cost terms, it exceeds the $400 mark.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. Still a ways off, probably another year, maybe more, before we hear anything or see anything, I guess, would be that.
If they had a PlayStation 5 model that was without the optical disc, kind of like the Xbox One SAD.
That was, by the way, that was announced. It was the Xbox One S... all digital. And so everybody's called it the Xbox One SAD.
Yeah. So if they had something like that without the optical disc that was a little bit cheaper, would you go that route? Or
who knows? Because the Xbox without it still costs $250. The drive is not the expensive part. The disc drive on this thing is not the expensive part. The reader, whatever. That laser beam is not the expensive part of this machine. The expensive part of that machine is the processor, the GPU, and I don't know about the SSD. Those prices kind of range depending on where they go with that, but it'll be the CPU and the GPU is where the money comes from on this.
I'm curious
the architecture inside of it.
What the size of the SSD will be.
There's that too. I mean, I'm hopefully they can look at everything and, number one, not go SKU crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's this one at this, you know. Don't turn it into a damn cell phone.
Yeah.
Don't go SKU crazy and be careful. Look, Sony, let's not play leapfrog here like we did these past couple of seasons or past couple of generations. The Xbox 360 dominated the previous generation because the PlayStation 3 released at like $600. Then Sony thought, let's see if we can bring that price down. Microsoft changed their mind and said, well, ours is going to cost $500 because we put a stupid Kinect in it that now we have gotten completely rid of. We've gotten rid of. In fact, we sold more when we took the Kinect out of it only like 2 months after release when they started selling a Kinectless Xbox One.
Yeah, weren't they telling us things like it's absolutely necessary to have this thing to operate your system, things like that?
I am so glad the people who are behind Microsoft are not behind Microsoft anymore.
Yeah.
Dan Matrick, I think, was his name.
Yep.
And, I mean, he was the face that they kept putting out in front of us. But, good God, that was such a...
A mess.
It was. They were completely doing it wrong. And so they release at $500. Sony says, we're going to come in at $400. And everybody's happy. And they get the system of choice. So then Sony's got a system and it's looking like, it's going to cost more than $400. Don't do this. $400 is your sweet spot.
Yeah.
Don't. I know you're looking at people who bought $1,000 iPhones, but that's a completely different thing. I know. It's a completely different thing. People buying $1,000 iPhones aren't looking at consoles to buy, and if they are, they just spent $1,000 on a phone. They don't want to spend another on a console. $400 your sweet spot. Go lower, don't go higher. Do not go higher than $400. You go higher than $400, you're the loser. Unless, of course, both systems are $500.
And then we have no choice.
Yeah. But in a competitive market, that other company has to make that decision. That other company, like both companies have to realize what their competitor is doing, right?
Mm.
They have to think, what's the price? When specs get released, they're like, okay, here's what they're going with their price point here. All that hardware in there has got to cost them this much money, so they're probably going to sell it at this price, something like that. So let's adjust accordingly. Let's be less than that or something like that. Yeah, and 400, I think, is the sweet spot for this thing. For any of these new consoles, be $400. If you're 500, we already seen what that did to a Sony system, previous gen, and then to Xbox this gen. Don't do it. Who's on the phone?
Crawdad.
Hey, Crawdad.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah, happy Easter to you, too. Good hearing from you again.
Yeah, I always listen. I don't always call, but I always listen to your show in the afternoon here on the weekend. I learn things, and I wanted to ask you a question, you guys.
Sure.
I have an old PlayStation, the original PlayStation, sitting in a box, and the thing's dead, and we got a ton of games. Little brother got nostalgic, and we start looking through things, and, oh, we can't play them. So here's the question.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about rebuilds, refurbs, or what have you? Because, you know, the new generation machines won't play the old games. You have to have the old machine to play the old games.
In some ways, that's correct. In some ways, that's not. But for the most part, yeah, you're right. If you're going PlayStation 1, then...
You'll need either a PS1 or a PS2?
I think so, but I would just get a refurb PS1.
Yeah.
Okay, that's they even going have that, what are your feelings on the refurbs?
Perfectly fine.
Yeah. They had PS1, because they had the original PlayStation, which was the bigger one.
Yeah.
Then they had it's called the PS1, that was like the smaller, more travel version, and those were pretty easy to find.
Okay.
Last I looked.
Yeah, I'm looking up and seeing what I can find for you.
There is one game, and I would buy a refurb just to play this one game. It's called Assault Rigs. And it's very graphic. It looked kind of like when Tron. You remember when Tron came out in the movie, and the battle tanks are all very graphic. You know, just kind of line drawings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the music that goes to Assault Rigs, I really enjoyed that. And then come to find that one of the pieces in there is a ripoff of a Herbie Hancock piece.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I really enjoyed that game, and I was showing it to my brother, and we couldn't play it. And that was my question about refurbs. I haven't bought anything like that. Where would I go to look for such a thing?
I would hit up pawn shops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you know of any pawn shops, I would hit them up. Retro Game Planet in Prattville.
Yeah.
Retro Game Planet. Okay.
That's in Prattville.
It's have refurbs up there.
I want to say that they probably do. I don't know specifically, but I would, you know, if you look them up online, you can probably give them a call and find out rather than making the drive. Tell them what you're looking for, and they can probably help you out. I would imagine, even if they don't have a refurb system, they've got used systems that people have turned in.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking on eBay right now, and oof. There you go. That's a lot of money right there.
So, yeah, that was the other question is, you know, how much blood are they going to need, pound of flesh or what have you?
I'm looking at prices here. I have no idea. This is eBay, so I can't tell you much more than the prices that I see whether or not these systems work.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at $45, $60. That's what I'm looking at here. $60.
Level. That's what kind of spooks me is the confidence level of the refurb machine. You know, you don't really know what you're getting.
You don't. Now, that's if you buy it off of eBay. If you go to Retro Game Planet or a pawn shop, then you take that home and it doesn't work.
You take it back.
You can take it back and let them know, and they'll hook it up and see. When most of these places, both pawn shops and Retro Game, buy systems from customers,
they usually check them out.
They hook it up. Even if you go to GameStop, I guess.
Yeah.
They hook that stuff up before the person leaves the store to make sure it does work.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get it. So, you know, I think if you buy from any... If you're rolling the dice on eBay, but if you go to a store... Here in town, then you're good. Eastbrook Flea Market is another one I would check.
Yeah, Miss Dot's place. That was Crash Bandicoot. Was that a PlayStation?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
My God, that was so fun.
I didn't even think about the flea markets. Yeah, check out Eastbrook Flea Market.
Eastbrook, okay, will do.
Yeah.
Always enjoy listening to you guys. Thank you very much for your program.
Thanks for calling, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care now.
We're going to go to our last break here because we're way behind again. This is a game that just came out on Steam again. It is called Level Head.
Okay.
And we'll be back with more in-game chat after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Frostpunk.
Haven't heard of it.
Yeah. The video for the soundtrack, it's not a static image, but it is just this flyover of something while the music plays. And it kind of looked tower defensive, but I don't think it is.
Trying to gather the type of game it is from the name.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
I think steampunk. Or something along those lines, but Frostpunk.
Yeah, it's called Frostpunk. Obviously, it takes place in ice and
cold.
Stuff. Yeah.
I gotta look that up.
Makes sense, I suppose.
Okay. City building survival game.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
Something to look into.
Right.
We don't have a lot of time, folks. Completely.
Very little.
Yeah, I was not good with time management today at all.
I blame City Heroes.
I blamed it for a lot of things back in the day.
But it's understandable, man. Like we said, that game had
it was my first
impact.
MMO. It was my first time getting into this thing. It was also my first experience of having a game dominate my life like that.
Yeah.
You know? Not that it wouldn't continue to happen later on in the years, but just something where it's like, I'd rather be playing that game right now than doing this.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Man.
Yeah, we get it. We get it, man.
Good times. So, in case you didn't know, and I don't think there's many more days left, I want to say it was available for about a week, and that started on the 17th, I believe, that for you PC folks, you can get Assassin's Creed Unity for completely free.
Yep.
And they're also making a big donation towards the reconstruction of the cathedral as well. This was because of Notre Dame. Assassin's Creed Unity, for those who don't know, takes place during the French Revolution. 2 years was spent recreating the Notre Dame Cathedral in that game so that you could climb it, go inside of it. It became a part of the game. Paris itself is a character in the game, basically, the thing. And this was a huge project done by the folks at Ubisoft to make this as picture-perfect, I guess, as possible. Just, you know. Very, very detailed, very, very similar to the actual Notre Dame Cathedral. The game, however, released with massive amount of bugs. It became a joke.
Didn't they fix them for the most part?
They have.
So it's playable.
Oh, no. Yeah, they fixed everything, but it came a little too late.
Yeah.
and everybody had moved on, or the joke had already been, you know, everybody had their laugh, and nobody was willing to either go back to it or care to even say, well, you know, they did fix all that. And nobody cared. Then they released this, and it was done in such good faith that they actually had to pull the servers offline to make room for all the people who were playing it. They had to increase server capacity for a game that hadn't been around since 2014. And not only that, it is getting positively review bombed on Steam right now.
Because what, since then we had what, Rogue, Origin,
Syndicate came out after, so...
Was Rogue before this?
Rogue was... Here's the weird thing.
Because it was that weird... One was one console, one was another...
Yeah, if you want to talk about oversaturation of the market, Assassin's Creed. No further than Assassin's Creed. Unity released strictly for the new-gen consoles.
Okay, that was the next-gen.
The and 4 Rogue and the... Yeah, the PS4 gen. And the Xbox One. Rogue released specifically for the past-gen consoles. What a stupid idea this was.
Yeah.
People were selling their old consoles to buy the new consoles because, again, let's go back. Xbox One, $500. PS4, $400. And, of course, the stores were doing trade-in credits and bonuses so that you could at least, you know, take a little bit of that sting away to buy your new system. But yet they release an Assassin's Creed game strictly for the older consoles and one strictly for the new ones. This is ridiculous. Make them available to both and you'll increase your revenue from both of them, because people will buy both. People on the older systems, if Unity's available, they'll pick that one up. People on the older systems, or the newer systems.
Kind of like the Zelda Breath of the Wild.
What?
That came out on both the Wii U and the Switch.
Oh, it did. Yes, it did. Yeah. I mean, they know. It's Nintendo. They know. But, Assassin's Creed, though, is not a... not a console exclusive type thing.
No.
It's not Nintendo, or it's not Ubisoft. Ubisoft doesn't have a machine.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it was stupid marketing. However, it is the only time that I know of where one game flowed into the next game. And again, you look at this with the way that they handled it, and you're like, why did you do it this way? Rogue ends where Unity begins. And I don't remember an Assassin's Creed game having that linearity.
No.
I mean, they've always had a constant thread that goes through them, but nothing that picked up where one game ended. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened with Rogue and Unity. Except you wouldn't know that unless you were playing on the old systems, then moved to the new ones. Or now you're playing on PC. But so, there's that. I'm totally running out of time. I just get distracted.
Shiny things.
I know. Let's see. Man, I wanted to talk about Gearbox and the Epic Store again. What else was there? They're shutting down the original Burnout Paradise servers after 12 years. By the way, this is just the original Burnout Paradise servers, not the remaster. So the remaster servers are still there. If you're playing.
But if you had the original Burnout, can you still play it, though? Just not online?
You can. They are not shutting down the servers until August. So if you had Burnout
after
Paradise.
After August,
you will not be able to play online.
Okay, but you can still just play.
You can still play the game, yeah. Right. Smash Brothers got all of their big updates where you can create your stages, and then everybody created phallic things. That's all they do.
Big surprise.
When you give them a tool, man, that's all they do is they make
create
tools.
If you get an idea, Soul Calibur 6, the creator, Soul Calibur 5 did that too. Create a character.
Yeah.
And within the first week, phallic symbols everywhere.
Of course.
It got to the point where people were getting banned or chastised or something was happening to their accounts if they kept showing up somewhere.
Well, I'm going to move some of the news that we didn't get to over to next week. Thar66 makes a great comment about next gen probably being the last hardware consoles. I'd love to go into that discussion as well.
Oh, we could discuss that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I want to thank everybody who showed up into the chat room today. We had AC Wraith, another TV viewer, Apricot Droop Fruit, Commander Root, Crackamus.
I like that one.
Lethal Migraine, Paul Easy. Random Man X, S1 Faker, Skinny Seahorse, Steven Van Dam, Tactus 59, Ted, Thar 66, V&K Virgo Pros, hanging out. So thank you so much. Everybody, we appreciate it so much. Thank you. Every week you guys show up. We you don't know how appreciative we are of that. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you next Saturday. Leave you here with music from a game called Katana Zero. We'll see you next Saturday.